We will be talking about all things Sandy for sure today and playing some stuff and catching up with what's going on there. You're with Bill Benneker, talk is cheap, Friends and Neighbors Network.
And now, here's Bill Benneker.
Yes, yes, that's all I can say is, oh no, holy dump truck. I mean, unbelievable. We went on the east. Anyway, just amazing. All right, hi, we'll get to that. But right today, I wanted to start off with a little yuck 'em up because I thought, you know, we could use it after all that terrible time that people had back east. This is called Little Billy Strikes Again. Teacher asked the class to use the word fascinate in a sentence. Molly put up her hand and said, "My family went to my granddad's farm, and we saw all the pet sheep, and everything was fascinating." Teacher said, "That was good, but I wanted to use the word fascinate, not fascinating." So Sally raised her hand. She said, "My family went to see Rock City, and I was fascinated." Teacher said, "Well, that was good, Sally, but I wanted to use the word fascinate." Little Billy raised his hand. Teacher hesitated because she had been burned by Little Billy before. She finally decided there was no way he could damage the word fascinate, so she called on him for his offering. Johnny said, "My Aunt Gina has a sweater with 10 buttons, but her boobs are so big she can only fasten 8.
This is Talk is Cheap. With Bill Benneker. The Friends and Neighbors Network.
Some people are afraid to get an MRI because they think their only option is being put into a narrow tunnel. This is no longer true. San Luis Diagnostic Center just installed a new 3-Tesla ultra-high-field MRI system with an opening that is 40% larger and much shorter than other systems. Now even the most claustrophobic person can have an MRI without concern. It produces crisper, clearer images that can diagnose disease far earlier, and scans take half as long. As a diagnostic facility dedicated to outpatient care, San Luis Diagnostic Center strives to make sure your appointments are on time and at your convenience. When your doctor tells you you need an MRI, take control of your health care and call San Luis Diagnostic Center at 542-9700 before someone else chooses for you. All major insurances are accepted.
At Idlers, we are a family-owned company and we love where we live. We are your neighbors. We are How'd You Sleep Last Night? Idlers Sleep Source has the perfect beds for a perfect night's sleep. Ready for perfect? Try Sealy, Simmons Beauty Rest, Tempur-Pedic. We have them all and more at every price. Free delivery, free setup, free Holloway every day. Paso, San Luis Obispo, Idlers.net. Idler Sleep Source. Best prices guaranteed.
Idlers.net. How old was that girl that did that? Anyway, here's what's going on. Our flashback in history. Our hashback in flistery is right here today, according to the Tribune. And our birthday soon. Our highlight in history on October 30th, 1938, the radio play The War of the Worlds starred Orson Welles and aired on CBS. Now, can I say this? Years later, many, many years later, I was at a Halloween party, and we tried to say, okay, let's close the shades so we can't see the outside, and let's try to imagine what it was like when you just had radio, and this is what you heard. It didn't work because we already had television and it was gone. On this date, 1961, the Soviet Union tested a hydrogen bomb, a Tsar Bomba, with a force estimated at 50 megatons. 1974, Muhammad Ali knocked out George Foreman in the 8th round of a 15-round bout in Zaire, known as the Rumble in the Jungle, to regain his world heavyweight title. Madame Curie said this, "Nothing in life is to be feared. It is only to be understood." All right. Our birthdays today include rock singer Grace Slick, who's 73. Grace Slick is 73. Actor Henry Winkler is 67. Actor Gael Garcia Bernal is 34. And actress Janelle Parrish is 24 today. Happy birthday to them, and happy birthday to you if it's yours.
Happy birthday to you.
Here's news you can use from CalcosNews.com. Can I just say this? Let me go backwards one sec. I try to keep up with what's going on in today's modern world and everything, but most of these young people, they're actresses and whatever. I have the faintest idea. I don't know what they're in, what they do, why they do it, who they do it to. All right, let's move on. Same with the actors, too. Two Republican state lawmakers, according to CalcoastNews.com, and the Sacramento Bee from San Luis Obispo County are among the party's most independent members, according to analysis of voter records by the Sacramento Bee. Senator Cacho Shadian, 33rd District, and Senator Sam Blakesley, 15th District, were on a list compiled by the newspaper of 15 lawmakers whose votes have most often veered from party wishes. Our analysis also showed that even the most independent legislators voted contrarily only 10% of the time, while many state lawmakers on the election stump are emphasizing their interest in working in a bipartisan manner once they get to Sacramento. The record suggests those splits from the party line votes will be infrequent. Yes. 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 Things going on. Yeah, the things that are happening. The California Environmental Protection Agency revised a controversial kindergarten through 12 curriculum, removing some positive messages about plastic bags that an interest group had lobbied to include. In August 2011, school officials rewrote part of a new environmental curriculum to include the advantages of shopping with plastic bags following a lobbying effort by the American Chemistry Council on behalf of the plastics industry, of course. Although the curriculum included the environmental hazards of plastic bags, consultants added a few five-point question asking students to list advantages of shopping with plastic. One such advantage stated that plastic bags required 70% less energy to manufacture than paper. Textbook change drew sharp criticism from environmental groups and politicians. Following a state investigation into the matters, Cal EPA announced Friday had revised the textbooks again, replacing statistics offered by the American Chemistry Council with the ones more favorable to environmental groups. That's enough of that. And so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes over a bag. It's just a bag. All right, here we go. Let's look at this stuff. That's it. Well, let's see. They do have an article today. Mayoral candidate facing criminal charges, the guy in Paso Robles, as we may know. And there was another opinion piece. This one was by Mark Buckman that says vote yes on 38. And that's it. And he has a reason, I'm sure. I didn't read it yet. So that's what's going on. It's 12:13, and you're up to the minute with CalCoastNews.com on 1340 KYNS, your news station.
CalCoastNews.com on KYNS, your news station.
Damn. Well, I'll tell you what, that dramatic little da-da-da-da thing certainly would apply to what happened back east. Holy dump truck. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Wow. Never anything like it. Nothing. I was in New England when there was a hurricane once in Maine. I don't remember which one. It was Ethel or Hazel or one of them. I can't remember. And it was pretty dramatic. I mean, there was a lot of boats smashed up and stuff, you know, that kind of thing. But it wasn't, it didn't cover, you know, 10 states and kill, you know, 20 people, et cetera, et cetera. So it was, this whole thing's just been remarkable. And, you know, we get into this thing about, well, how well can any city prepare for the kind of disaster that befell, you know, the citizens from the storm? I don't think you really can. I don't see what you would do different. You know, the emergency management people, it seemed to me back in New York, New Jersey, in those areas, they were very quick at coming together with ambulances from out of state, fire workers from out of state, National Guard. You know, it seems to me that they had those mechanics pretty well in place to make that thing work, and it seems like they did. They showed the dramatic rescue of the crew of the HMS Bounty that sank. And it was the replica of the original. The captain still hasn't been found. And so, it's so interesting because everybody always asks them, well, what do you think the chances are he's going to be found? And, well, they don't want to answer that question. Really, they have no way of knowing the answer to that. I don't know why. The guy could be floating on a log somewhere. Chances are he's not. Anyhow, so they're trying to figure that out. Now, here's an interesting thing, and I'm going to go back to an article that was in a paper on Saturday we never got to, and it's blowing my mind a little bit. You have all these power lines that are down. Now, in a lot of cases, they went down, and the transformer went with it, so therefore it would cut off the power. But you have all these power lines down. You have all this water, and so they have commented on, you know, we need you to be careful because you could step in water that's electrified and you're not going to know it till you've been electrocuted. Well, how are you going to know? I mean, you know, you don't know until you get electrocuted. So now, wait, let's go backwards, though. I don't get this. Maybe there's some part of it that they wish they'd done different. A California man was charged with killing two women who were electrocuted after his SUV struck a hydrant and light pole. Amin Samosian turned himself in Thursday and faces two counts of vehicular manslaughter, the deaths of Stacy Schreiber, who was 39, and Irma Zamora, 40. He faces up to 7 years and 4 months in prison if convicted. Women were killed in August when they tried to help him after his vehicle hit a hydrant and toppled a light pole. Since the crash occurred at night, the downed electrical lines may have not been too hard to see. Now, wait a minute. Was he drunk? I mean, then, okay, then if he's drunk, I guess that they could file those charges. If he wasn't drunk, how would he be responsible for that? I don't understand at all. We're talking 29 U.S. deaths right now because of Sandy. We'll play now. I know everybody's seen everything 100 times, but we'll go, here's a little report that we'll do and see if there's anything new coming up. I will try to keep my eyes open to see if anything new comes up. Okay, I think it's just going to show me pictures. Okay, right, I've already seen the pictures. I don't see the pictures. I want reports. You understand? I want to see. I need reports. All right. So now we got snow in some of the other states, which is just insane. And another thing we didn't get to last week, the live shark that fell out of the sky. Did you hear about that? Where did my live shark out of the sky story? Okay. I don't know where it is. Somewhere. I said I'd save it. I don't know where it is. So that's okay. But anyway, it was a two foot shark. Anyway, so what they assumed was that a bird dropped it, and so they had gotten it and then dropped it, and so they rushed it to the ocean and it swam away. It had an happy ending and everything, you know what I'm saying? So that's really good. Okay. Oh, here was a picture in Saturday's paper in the local section of the empty chair found hanging from a tree in Templeton, to which people are saying, well, this was just juvenile delinquency. Yeah, right. I don't think so. And somebody wrote a letter today that says, get a clue. It's totally inappropriate. Anybody that cannot see what's inappropriate about it just doesn't get it. All right. I have to have one more thing to share. I thought I had one more thing hidden away there, but anyway, I'll get to it. Sorry, we'll get to it. Well, here's an event that's going on that I want to tell you about. There's a number of things coming up, too. We have on the 3rd of November, I can't see when that is, Saturday, 3rd of November, Saturday. There's an open house for the new vet center on Laurel Lane that deals with combat vets. And so if you know a combat vet that may be having some trouble, it doesn't matter what war, you can suggest that perhaps they go or take them and say, see what's going on, meet the people over there. Very nice people. Then what else is going on? There's an Agent Orange presentation that's for doctors and for the public and for service people. That's going to be at the Santa Maria Vets Hall. And I'll make sure, as I think it's the 10th, but I'll make sure I know what day that is. And then this is the thing that's going on this weekend, in case you want to join us, because I'm going. Some Like It Hot, right there. That's the annual premier event of the Rotary down in Santa Maria. And we were invited once again by the Hannings at Country Health Care Center saying, you want to come and be with us? Come on. Okay. And so it's from 5:30 to 11 o'clock at the Fair Park, and so there's plenty of parking, all that kind of stuff. There's open bar, dinner, and it's very good food. Let me say this: and the bar, you don't pay, but don't overdrink because the coppers are there. Okay, you know, get a clue. All right, open bar, dinner, DJ this year, silent and live auctions. These auctions are really amazing. What was the thing that was so amazing? I forget. It was, I know what it was, an iPod. I don't know what number the iPod was, an iPod 3, 4, 5, 10, who knows. It was an iPod that had 5,000 songs loaded on it. Yeah, pretty good. They had that 2 years in a row, so they might have it again, in case you want 5,000 songs on an iPod. I have about 1,200 on mine, and I can't for the life of me figure out why I put some of them on it. And my problem is that in order to make it work, in order to load my iPod, I had to go down to the Mac store in San Luis Obispo and say, I have the faintest idea how you do this. So the guy wrote down some instructions for me, which I followed to the letter, and it worked to the letter. But now I have to go get them again, because if I wanted to get rid of some of the stuff or add some new stuff, I don't know. I have no idea. I don't even know which cable to use. I don't know. All right, so Some Like It Hot, Santa Maria. That's this Saturday, 5:30 to 11 p.m. Let me see what you who you talk to get tickets. Let me make sure you know how to do that. Scott, you want to call Scott for tickets, and they're 361-1003. That's 361-1003. The next week, I believe we're the next right after the, maybe next week. Yeah, next week. We're going to have Habitat for Humanity back in here because they're having a groundbreaking ceremony for some new homes. And I guess they're going to have a do or some kind. We'll find out more about that. Today, it's you, me, and Hurricane Sandy. That's what's going on right there. People are on the roofs. People are on the roofs waiting to be rescued. And amazingly, you know that crane that was broke on that building that somehow hung in there the whole time? Nobody knows how. And then it was weird. They were showing video of, I thought it was strange. They're showing video and they're saying, you know, here's what's happening. These trees are being uprooted. And they had video of it because of, you know, the earth. The dirt, earth is just all soggy, waterloggy. And so there you go. And so then, and of course, the trees still have all their leaves on them. Now, here's what was interesting, though, if I can tell you the truth. I didn't see a tree blow over that blew over that way. I saw four trees snap. And then crash into power lines, crash into automobiles, all that kind of stuff. And people's cars floated away, so they're trying to find their cars. It's like, man, all right. It says they need, of course, they obviously need people to donate blood and aid children in need. Always bring up the kids, you know, make it see, okay, it's kids. They need help. Everybody needs help. What a mess. And of course, the other thing is that nobody has flood insurance. Why would you, you know, nobody, I'm not going to say nobody has it, but most people don't have flood insurance. Now, speaking of flood, here's another one of these stories that makes me go, say what?
Okay, good.
Here's a story. We knew about it last week because we had it in, we had Calcos News and all that. Let me find it here. But it's a little bit peculiar. Because it didn't make sense when I read it, and so then I did another thing here. Okay, here it is right here. Your friend and neighbor, Bill Benica, did some investigative reporting right here to find this out. San Luis Obispo Public Works officials said Monday that Friday's sewage spill from a private sewer line at 1585 Calle Joaquin, and the owner called, and the owner, what did I just say? Come on. Oh, called a plumber for repairs. While the total spill was estimated 1,000 gallons, about 50 gallons reached Froome Creek, which was not flowing, city officials said. Friday's spill caused required closures of Avila Beach and Port San Luis as a health precaution. So then you read the story, you go, oh, okay. But you don't just go, oh, okay. 1,000 gallons of sewage is backed up in a private sewer line? Well, I'm thinking to myself, come on. It can't possibly be a private home. I mean, come on. So then it turns out it wasn't. It was the hotel. It was a hotel there and on Calle Joaquin. And then this is interesting because the Tribune staff wrote this. And the Tribune staff has been here however long they've been here. They said this was at 1185 Calle San Joaquin, which we don't have any street named that. And I thought, well, it's not really called that. So I checked, and it wasn't really called that. It's called Calle Joaquin. Anyway, so it was right there. It was the I forget which one it was. Next to the Rose Happy End or something. Next door to that. So you can see that maybe if they had a sewage blockage and a thing from a hotel, how they could maybe get 1,000 gallons of sewage. I don't want to talk about it anymore. I'm not happy talking about sewage, but I had to look it up and say, okay, who did this? And now I've looked it up and I still don't know. That's the sad part about it, really. All right, now here's an amazing story right here. Governor Chris Christie may postpone Halloween. It should be tomorrow night. Oh, let me mention something else about going to speaking tomorrow night. Let me speak about tomorrow day. I'll be on tomorrow from noon to 1 o'clock, and then from 1:05 or 6, whatever it is, to 2 will be Treasure Ivan. Had did a special Halloween show with all kinds of old Halloween music and stuff from back in the day. And so we thought, well, let's just run that for Halloween. That'd be cool. So that's what we're going to do. Somebody said, what do you think of this idea? Well, I said, I like that idea. I like it. All right. The picture on the front page of the Tribune today, and there's you can go on lots of news sites and find the same picture, but it was just like the havoc it wrecked on the boardwalk. I mean, to see the boardwalk just that ripped up, it's so iconic in Atlantic City, and it's so big and massive. You just can't almost fathom that anything could come in there and screw it up. But they did. So they're going to be here's the other thing. There's going to be a lot of this may sound like a weird thing to tell you. I haven't read this, but I know of it because I know it happens. You know this Carfax thing that they advertise? I don't know how reliable that is, but let's say it's reliable. I have no idea. But here's what I'm going to tell you. A lot of cars will start showing up. All of a sudden, there'll be an influx of used cars on the West Coast because this is historically what happens when there's a big flooding-type storm. And these cars get really screwed up. And then they, you know, get them to the world will operate, and then they and clean them up as best they can, and then they send them out to the West Coast to be sold and other places, of course. So be, you know, I'm just telling you, be careful because there's going to be just a gaggle of those things being sold. And unlike a home where you have to have full disclosure, on a car you don't. You don't have to have full disclosure at all. It's buyer beware. So that's it right there. All right, let me see if there's anything else here. We have tons of information. I'm just trying to make sure we have anything. There's that thing, the broken crane still hanging on, which is amazing. Lots of people are in Red Cross shelters. Let's talk about some numbers again. 7.5 million people without electricity right now. Mayor Bloomberg, New York's worst storm ever. No kidding. You know, the subways are 108 years old, is it? 108 years old. And so some of them flooded. I mean, it was like, how could you avoid it? 300 blood drives have been canceled by the Red Cross. I'm not sure what they meant by we need blood. Why? How are you going to get it? You don't expect people just to bleed into a dish and bring it in, do you? Okay, Wall Street, New York City subway shut down. They got the radar thing again, which is pointless. Anyway, so it's really quite amazing. And, of course, it's affected the election. It's affected what the candidates are doing because, you know, they got the storms and whatnot. All right. Well, that's okay then. That could be a good thing. All right, let me check one other place here. Well, let's do this here. Let me get this in while I'm thinking about it because I have it right here. We have our you know website thing where she talks about all these cool websites, and these are Halloweeny websites. So let's go to a Halloween website.
Your favorite haunts. This is Soundbites, and I'm Jan Ziff. There's a ghost somewhere close by, much closer than you think, and you can find that ghost at hauntfinder.com. HauntFinder is a collection of haunted locations and scary attractions around the U.S. Just find your state and click, and there you are. Locations, contacts, everything you need to plan a fright-filled, spooky night on the town. From Alabama to Wyoming, there's a ghost near you, especially in Ohio, home of many a restless spirit. Some of the listings are well-planned events, haunted hayrides, terror tours, journeys into dark and mysterious forests where anything can happen. But others are true haunted houses, taking you places you don't want to be when the lights go out. With Soundbites, I'm Jan Ziff for CBS News.
Our day starts very early at the USO. We support the troops at more than 130 centers in airports and other locations around the world. We have regularly scheduled deployments that come through, but things rarely run on schedule, so we have a lot of surprises. We have birthdays, we have family reunions, we even had a wedding here once. But whatever comes up, travel arrangements, emails back home, or just a place to relax for a while, we'll do our very best to see they get what they need. It's the least we can do, considering what they do for us. If you want to make a difference in the life of someone serving our country, if you really want to make a difference, the USO is how it's done. Help us help them. The USO depends on the generosity of the American people. People just like you. To find out how you can help, visit us at USO.org. The USO. Until everyone comes home.
When they arrived at the sheds, a crowd of women erupted into shouting and booing. Martha was right. The strikers were more organized than ever. They carried signs that said, "Huelga, strike!" They were yelling, "Help us feed our children!" When Esperanza saw their menacing faces, she wanted to run. She wanted to tell them that her mother was sick, that she had to pay the bills. Then maybe they'd understand why she needed her job. But she knew it would not matter. The strikers only listened if you agreed with them. When the guard wasn't looking, one of the strikers picked up a rock and threw it, barely missing a woman's head. Esperanza's heart was beating wildly as she and the women took their places. Explore new worlds. Find out what happens next by reading the book Esperanza Rising by Pam Munoz Ryan. For other great book ideas, visit literacy.gov. A message from the Library of Congress and the Ad Council.
This is the button I have to have. Okay, so somebody just came in and said, you know about the fire bill? Yes, I do. There's a controlled burn out in the Wasna Valley. They're doing it. Well, you know, that's what they start off. So they all start off as controlled burns. But anyway, it's a semi-controlled burn out in the Wasna Valley, so that's what's going on out by Lopez. So just know that that's what the smoke is and all that, and it's under control as far as we know at this time. Thank you. I'm ready. Thank you.
There's a thousand words that I could say to make you come home, yeah. Seems so long ago you walked away, left me alone. And I remember what you said to me. You were acting so strange. And maybe I was too blind to see that you needed a change. Was it something I said to make you turn away, to make you walk out and leave me cold? If I could just find a way to make it so that you were right here, right now. I've been sitting here, can't get you off my mind. Try my best to be a man and be strong. Myself insane, wishing I could touch your face,
touch your face.
But the truth remains, you're gone,
baby, you're
gone,
girl, you're gone, baby girl, you're
gone,
you're gone.
Excuses, baby, won't change the fact that you're gone, no, no. But if there's something that I could do, won't you please let me know? The time is passing so slowly now. Guess that's my life without you.
Guess that's my life without you.
And maybe I could change my everyday, yeah. But baby, I don't want to. So I'll just hang around and find some things to do to take my mind off missing you. And I know in my heart you can't say that you don't love me too. Please say you do. Yeah. You off of my mind.
My best to be a man and be strong.
Wishing I could touch your face.
The truth remains.
The truth remains,
you're gone.
truth remains yours.
On Thursdays at 106 and 7/8, Talk is Cheap is delighted to bring you Reel to Reel
with your host, Bill Benica,
and the Palm Theater's Jim D.
We spend time chit-chatting about all things movies, with current hits to box office flops.
And, of course, all the great movies for the week at the Palm. Luckily, Jim is very knowledgeable about the industry.
And as luck would have it, I'm pretty knowledgeable about the movie industry.
Jim and Bill on Reel to Reel Thursdays at 106 and 7/8.
We're only in it for the movies.
The fundamental thing. As time goes by.
As time goes by, say goodbye to your hearing. You might think you look bad in a hearing aid, but nobody's even going to know because they're invisible.
Here's looking at you, kid.
She can go to the Palm and watch a subtitle flick.
Suppose you run your business and let me run mine.
My business will tell you about Karen Scott Audiology. When it comes to hearing, she's the best for little kids, big kids, young adults, middle-agers, and we old elders. Sure, you don't hear well, so you're used to reading lips, but what about these lips? They hardly move. How are you going to know what this guy's saying?
Of all the gin joints in all the towns in all the world, she walks into mine.
See, Dr. Karen Scott, so your next trip to the Palm will be enjoyable. For your hearing's sake, go see Karen Scott in the Walther Building next to the DMV in San Luis Obispo.
I think this is the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
It is, right there. Let me tell you something to do. You're with Bill, but I can talk as cheap friends and neighbors, Neckard, 1340 KYNS. Let me mention that what a nice bunch of people they have at Karen Scott's. I mean, really, all the different technicians and people that help you out, and Susan, when you walk through the door, and you know, smiles at you and makes you feel welcome. And so it's special. I just want you to know it's special. It's special. But then that's who I do business with, is people that I really like. If I don't really like them, then I don't really have to do business with them, do I? That works. Let me go to here, if I may, because here is here's a picture of a big old ship that washed up on the coast. So where is that exactly? I think that was in New York. But let me find this right here for you. Can I say this could be the start of a beautiful friendship? Let me tell you that. This could be the start of something really good. Chris Christie, Governor Chris Christie, Republican, complimented the work that FEMA did and the President of the United States for being on top of that. Wait, sorry, I'm sorry, this started. Yep. So anyway, which I thought was really cool. All right. So let me give you this story here. This is a story about the Red Cross headed to New Jersey.
These trucks will be bringing food and supplies to the flooded areas of the city. Volunteers are packing spoons, tubs, and gloves for mass feeding, as well as cleanup kits and comfort packages. Four trucks are pulling out of the regional headquarters in Orlando, headed to New Jersey. The 10 volunteers behind this fleet are preparing to be there for 3 weeks.
It fills a need in my soul, and I can't find anything more fulfilling than to be able to offer hope and, you know, assistance for somebody that's in need.
Red Cross officials say so far 11,000 people are staying in Red Cross shelters across 16 states affected by Hurricane Sandy, and they expect those numbers to grow. Now, while these trucks are headed to New Jersey, they may be rerouted to wherever they're needed most. In Orlando, Kristen Giannis, Local 6.
You know, right there. So it's, it's huge. And they said, one of the things they did say, too, by the way, is that some of these people that have no power may not have power for almost 3 weeks. So that's like craziness. Wow. Just an amazing, amazing event. We've so far been spared most of these terrible things. Of course, as I said to you, first off, the taxi cab fleet was flooded out. Then the subways in New York were flooded out. And so there's another big problem there. And you got, 8 million people without power. Let me see if I have a story here that will tell you what's going on. Oh, okay, let me see what comes up here. Because it's this whole thing with the transit system is like, try to imagine it's New York, for gosh sakes. So, of course, they're closing school again for the day and going from there. But they, what else are they going to do? Kids are happy. The kids, are like, okay, school's closed. But this thing about Halloween and maybe having to say, okay, we have to redo Halloween, that's really freaky. What an amazing storm. I'll get to that story about the transit here in just a second. All right, other things in our news today. The CHP officer who we haven't identified yet. They've identified the suspect as Clifford Albert Scott Jr. of San Diego, and he had the shootout with the CHP. And so here's the thing: what saved his life was the CHP guy was he had a bulletproof vest on, and so that's I'm glad, okay. Well, I thought they'd have a report. Well, then here was this, you know, to add just misery to other misery. You know, here's a thing that happened that was just awful. And that is, in the midst of all this flooding and rain and everything else, then you have a fire. And more than 50 homes were lost in a fire. It's just craziness. I mean, every bad thing that could happen happened.
It's time for another familiar
face. Good morning.
All right, can you tell me when the promo is over? That doesn't really tell me when the promo is over. Okay, there's another promo. All right, let's go to CBS Report Now.
Here in New York, there was a terrible fire overnight in one seaside neighborhood that was evacuated because of the storm. Anne Mercogliano of our New York station, WCBS-TV, is in the Rockaway section of the city.
Well, right now we're in Breezy Point, Queens, and take a look. You can see the destruction that this storm has left. Take a look at all these homes here. They actually look like they were brought up and then brought back down. Residents here are checking on their homes. They're checking on their families. This was an evacuated zone, but actually many residents chose to stay. And also, just a few blocks from here, firefighters have been battling a 6-alarm fire.
Let me interrupt here and say something to you. These homes, a lot of what happened in these homes, and I suppose with having slab construction here in California, if you had a similar flooding circumstance here, I suppose a very similar thing could happen. What has happened is that a lot of homes were taken and moved off their foundations. Now, everybody back there has basements, so I mean, almost 99% of people have basements. So I don't know what that does. I don't know how that affects flooding more, whether you have a basement or a slab. But there was that problem also.
200 firefighters trying to put out fires at 50 homes, and right now 10 homes are still burning. Thankfully, we're hearing no injuries reported at that fire. But again, these firefighters have been working at this since 11 o'clock last night. And, you know, the flooding has made it difficult to get to the blaze. And also there's been issues with water. They're trying to find water sources, and they've been working through the storm and also through the aftermath. But again, just one more look here. Breezy Point, Queens, total destruction. Tons of homes damaged, cars moved by the floodwaters, and people now returning to their homes trying to check out the damage, many leaving in tears. And that's the story from here in Breezy Point. Back to you in the studio.
All right, we'll just come back to Bill. So anyway, it's as you can imagine, you've seen them before yourself, is how much devastation there is back there. All right, we'll see if we can keep us up to date on it, get a current report. Maybe at 1 o'clock we'll get something on CBS. In San Luis Obispo, there's a man appeared in court. Actually, he's from San Jose, but he appeared in the stabbing death in Paso Robles of the guy in the laundromat that was stabbed 30 times. Jesus Ruiz saw a man stumbling in the middle of a street in Paso Robles. He thought the guy was drunk, but then he noticed he had blood all over himself. So it was 46-year-old Martin McWilliams of Paso who said an African-American man had stabbed him. He then pointed the direction that John Woody had fled during Woody's murder trial Monday. His attorney, Ken Searson, conceded that his client had stabbed McWilliams, but he claims that he's not well in the head, and he was hearing voices and stuff. Okay. One of those things that's really hard to prove or disprove. I could have voices in his head, I don't know. But then maybe not. Here's a good thing that's going on. It's likely to take 80 to 100 years and cost $560 million, but by reducing man-made hazards such as dams and groundwater pumping and restoring creek habitat, federal officials hope to revive steelhead trout along the central coast of California. So that's really cool. How long is it going to take again? 80 to 100 years. Well, just order a piece of snapper next time you go to the snapper. You got the snapper. All right. We need to do so here's the thing. Here was the article right here, and I'm sorry I didn't mention this as soon as I got here today. I apologize. I should have said something. There's a 525-acre burn about 4 miles southeast of Lopez Lake. It involved 5 fire engines, 1 bulldozer, 1 helicopter, and 3 fire crews. So that's what's going on right now. They say there'll be smoke between 8 a.m. and 6 p.m. So if you, here's what makes me nervous when I say this. So if you see this smoke all the time, all day, and you think to yourself, well, it shouldn't be smoking all day, should it? Yes. But, you know, other times I thought, let's assume they know what they're doing. No, let's not do that. I'm take that back. Other people are in the news. Neil Patrick Harris is going to direct a new magical themed show at L.A.'s Geffen Playhouse and is set to open November 27. Nothing to Hide, featuring magicians Derek Guadio, and I have no idea how to say those names. They're not from this planet. And then Taylor Swift will co-host the Grammy nomination television special. She'll be in there with LL Cool J as host of the December 5th special airing live on CBS from Bridgestone Arena in Nashville, Tennessee. John Ashbaugh is, again, somebody's complaining about something that he did that had to do with a donation or some darn thing. Anyway, we'll wait till the storm blows over and figure it all out. Okay, the jury selection of Disney Myers' murder trial will begin in mid-January, Judge Barry LaBarber said in a pretrial hearing on Monday. The death penalty case of defendant Ty Michael Hill. He'll be number one. It's expected they'd take about 11 court days to get a jury together for that. Okay. Now, guess what's happening in Canberra? I don't really know. I mean, here's what they wrote. And that's the fact that KMGQ, which they got those call letters, because the old call letters were KTEA, KT, which was interesting. But anyway, so K-Magic, apparently Joe Benson and this other guy that was involved up there, Chuck Contreras, post-rock communications, had an agreement to lease the station and began broadcasting as KMGQ, K-Magic, on August 27th with a light rock adult contemporary format. However, somehow the deal's fallen apart. So the original owner, and his name is Jim Campshore, has reclaimed the station, and he can't change the call letters back, because what happened is when you give up call letters, it goes into a collective pool of call letters, and then people that can go to there and say, okay, what call letters are available, and they can say, okay, we're going to take those. And then once they've taken them, you can't get them back unless the other station goes belly up, and you got to wait for that. That's the deal. So it's going to stay K-Magic, but it's going to be as jazz. It's going to be kind of a jazz format. And we wish them well with that. You know, you have an interesting thing that just is. It is. And there's no sense in scratching your head going, well, I wonder why that is. Nobody knows. It just is. And that there's two formats that you very seldom hear unless it's public radio. That's jazz and classical. And while the people that love the jazz and love the classical are true believers, I mean, they're just adamant and fervorish in how they feel about it. Unfortunately, there's such a small minority of the general listeners that there's no way to make it pay off. Now, I don't know what the guy's financial situation is up in Cambria, and I don't know, well, maybe you can get people to advertise, I don't know. But anyway, that's usually the problem right there. You know, at one time, one of the outfits here on the Central Coast did a light jazz format, and I said to the general manager, I said, you must be knocking them dead with this format. He said, Bill, we're actually going to give it up. I go, what are you talking about? I said, I hear it on every place I go, I hear it. He goes, you may hear it everywhere, but people aren't buying the advertising. I'm like, oh, okay. You have to have that to make it work. Or you have to have the government write your checks. One or two. Okay, so that was that. So now Cambria's back to ground zero. Square one, I think is what I'm supposed to say. Authorities say one of two hikers missing in the California Sierra Nevada was found. The other one is still missing. But this guy was Larry Kahn, a 53-year-old Pacific Palisades man, is still missing after entering the Inyo National Forest on October 19th. Here's another one. Two Oregon teenagers who didn't return from a weekend hike are safe after spending two nights in a wet, windy weather. 17-year-old, 16-year-old. They did not need medical attention. Now, this is we've now had how many stories about people going off hiking and not knowing what they're doing? So get a GPS or do something. You know, get put breadcrumbs, a string, something behind you so that you can get back. It's getting out of control here. More people are leaving. They're coming back. Which, from a population standpoint, California is desirable, but, you know, still. State fire chief has died after losing consciousness while on an investigative assignment in Santa Cruz. This guy, Rob Van Werner, he's only 47, was found dead at a hospital. He was the Santa Clara Unit Battalion Chief for Cal Fire. So, heart attack, I suppose. The rate at which California prison parolees commits new crimes has dropped slightly for the second straight year. It's slight, too, by the way. Okay, just a little bit. Okay. Now, this was a big issue that was in the news about where this was going to go. The U.S. Supreme Court has refused to take up the Oklahoma Supreme Court ruling that said a proposal to grant personhood to a human being to a human embryo would be an improper ban on abortion. So let's try this again so we understand it. The Oklahoma Supreme Court said you can't do that. It's an improper ban on abortion. And so the Supreme Court decided not to even visit it, which means that the state Supreme Court's decision in Oklahoma stands. So there was going to be a thing on the ballot, I guess. Anyway, it was called, they said it's clearly unconstitutional in a ruling in April. So that's that. And for the second time in 3 years, you know what's happening up in San Fran? They're gearing up for the big parade. That's right, the Giants, big parade. We need to celebrate something is why. We need to. Endeavor's set to open their L.A. address today, and they're going to try to glue the trees back together. Actually, they're not. But you can't tour it yet, but you can go see it, walk around it, I guess, and go, wow, big son of a gun. I'd like to be in space in this thing. Oh, and here's the highlight. They said you would be able to see the zero gravity toilet. But we've already talked about toiletry today, so we're not going to get into it. Okay. Then here was after we had Dr. Fevernaki in here from San Jose Agnostic this month. Because it was Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Then we have this report today. Mammogram study finds for each life saved, 3 women are overtreated. So you take 4 women that are diagnosed with possible breast cancer. One of them will be saved because she has breast cancer, and 3 will not be saved because they weren't going to get breast cancer to begin with. But because the diagnosis pointed in that direction, they had stuff done. The problem is this. You can't detect it in the person that has it without having a test done. Now, how we change our medical procedures or whatever it is you would say so that we don't have 3 out of 4 women being treated for breast cancer that don't have breast cancer and not going to develop it, that's the secret right now. That's the trick right now as to how to figure that out. But if I was a woman and I knew I had a 1 in 4 chance of having breast cancer for my mammogram, I think they used to say 1 in 5 women was going to get breast cancer, but now it's down to 1 in 4. That it's getting worse, and nobody has an answer to that. And you know, if you knew that 1 out of 4 people were going to get breast cancer, then I would think you'd still say, you know what, I'm going to get a mammogram, I'm going to be tested. 1 in 4, that's a crappy chance right there. You wouldn't make any money in Vegas with those odds. Okay, here we go with this thing again. It's plaguing my brain. I think that this has been politicized to a point that I'm offended by it. But understand something. I get offended by lots of stuff that gets politicized, and it's like, please shut up. You know, please stop. And one of those things is, of course, the attack on the Libyan embassy in Benghazi. And they're saying that there were lots of warnings that things were going on, but they weren't very specific. And if you want to find a reason to criticize what happened in Libya and blame it on somebody in particular, I guess you can do that. It doesn't make sense to do it, really, because, you know, if there's an attack, if you ask the State Department right now and said, is there going to be an attack on another embassy? Now, remember, they just, do you have some way of knowing that there's a planned attack on a certain embassy? And if they said no, but we know that they're planning to attack embassies, which is, I think, something we do know. Well, then we get back to this thing where you say, well, okay, how many people can you put into an embassy? How many people can you stock in an embassy, which is not that many, Marines or whatever, and say, okay, well, they'll just battle it out. Well, that doesn't make any sense either. That's just kind of craziness. I don't know. I don't know the answer to this thing, but blame isn't really one of them, I don't think. But look at the story they had yesterday in the paper where the Al-Qaeda is saying, start kidnapping Americans, and then we'll see if we can get them swapped for some of our guys that are in jail. There's no end to the awful of Al-Qaeda. None. There's just no end to it. Okay, so here was the Susan said from the Pomo, said, hardly a prank, the people that hung a chair from in Templeton from a tree. I agree with her. This is bogus. All right. So you have Wall Street shut down for the second day, and that's fascinating by itself. Then you have this number that came to light today, which is fascinating by itself, and that is the fact that PG&E earnings increased 81% last year. The 93 cents a share. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. That's as long as you get the ratepayer to pay for all the stuff, then you know you're going to be in good shape. And so far, they're pretty good at it. All right. Here's they talk about the candy makers at Halloween, how much candy sold Halloween versus Easter, Christmas, and Valentine's Day. To give you an example, 33% of the candy sold is sold for Halloween, which I guess makes sense. Easter's 30%, Christmas 21%, and Valentine's Day 14%. That's because on Valentine's Day you actually have a better choice of, you know, what you can give somebody. Is that true? Yeah, you can do the flowers and not the candy. Okay. Or a card, perhaps just a card. If you love each other, just a card will probably work. But the candy and the flowers are a good idea, trust me. Trust me, I tell you. Can't hurt. Can't hurt at all. PayPal's cutting 325 full-time jobs to streamline its business. It's also ending jobs of about 120 independent contractors. That's 2.5% of PayPal's workforce of 13,000. So that's a big blow right there to people working. Toyota's three brands, Scion, Toyota, and Lexus, swept the three top spots in Consumer Reports' annual reliability survey, which I find absolutely amazing to me. Now, so this has to do with the reliability survey, has to do with, I forget how what the time period is. I think it's 6 weeks. Don't hold me to that. Of the time that you a car is delivered to you to how many times you have to go back to the dealer and have something fixed. Now, what's not included in that mix, obviously, is how many recalls there have been. You know, because you start throwing that in there, there's no way in the world Toyota can end up on top of that. So anyway, I'm just saying that. You know, it's nice that they deliver you a car that's really in good shape when you get it. It's good for 6 weeks or so. And then when things catch fire and blow up and the wheels fall off and the horn starts to honk, something else altogether right there. And Verizon Wireless, the largest cell phone carrier in the U.S., which they claim they are, on Monday said that it will sell a Nokia phone for the first time in years, lending support to the embattled Finnish company's turnaround effort. They're trying to turn around bright eyes. Anyway, so they're seeing what they can do. This whole thing with the mobile phones and the computers, you know, Google's got a computer now that almost totally relies on clouds and other things, you know, to connect. And it went, but here's the one thing about it that's really cool. You open it up, and it boots up in 8 seconds. I suppose, like, this is 8 days for this computer. You right where you promise you. Very music, old music, NSYNC, back in Justin Timberlake first started. And they got their name from the last letter of their first names. That's how NSYNC came to be. Anyway, this I promise you. I promise to try to do as good as I can today for the next 50, 48 minutes. And you're with Bill Beck at Talkin' Cheap, Friends and Neighbors Network on 1340 KYNS, your news station. I can promise for that. I can promise. I mean, I won't break it. Oh, well, you know what? We have a story going on right now. Let me see if I can get this up here for you. There's breaking news out of Texas right now. Oh, here is a fire at a BP plant in Texas. They gotta love BP down there in Texas, don't they? Okay. Let's see when this will come up. They say it's live. Situation Room with Will Blitzer. Okay, whenever it's live, it takes even longer than when it's dead for me. Oh, end of stream. Thank you very much. Well, we sort of missed that story then. Perhaps they have it. They don't have it anywhere else. They haven't brought it up yet. I won't have that story for now. But we'll come up with a great story for you. Now playing end of stream. Okay, that didn't work. This is a live satellite image of the storm once known as Hurricane Sandy. It doesn't do me any good to just have a live image of the thing because you're there, I'm here, and that's there. So that didn't do us any good either. So other than that, that worked out really well. Okay. Oh, here was a story I wanted to share with you, if I can, if I may. And this is a young lady. This is pretty remarkable, too. But here's a young lady that wants to become and is on the verge of becoming. That's a lady. Mind you, notice I'm saying lady. A girl. She's a girl is what she is. She's a girl, for gosh sakes. Okay. Anyway, she's a young lady. But here's the deal right here. I'm trying to keep from getting in trouble. Okay. And no, I never say it in a derogatory way, a girl. I say if they're real young. All right, here it is. And so she's trying to become a chess champion.
CNN.
Radio.
Okay, so let's just cross the street.
The only way I could get an interview with Rochelle Ballantyne was if I walked with her from a school on New York's Lower East Side to a nearby subway stop.
There's not enough hours in the day to get everything done, so I need to get where I need to get, do what I need to get done, and then if I find time, sleep.
The 17-year-old walks at a very fast pace, and she lets nothing get in her way. That's also how she pursues her number one goal, to become the first ever female African-American chess master. I'm CNN's Steve Kastenbaum.
I've never been the first anything, so having that title next to my name is going to... Oh, man, it's going to feel amazing.
Ballantyne's tale is quite amazing when you consider her life story. Her father left the home when she was 10 years old. Her mother struggles to support Rochelle and her three siblings in a small apartment in the East Flatbush section of Brooklyn. She learned the game of chess from her grandmother when she was in the third grade.
She didn't want me to watch TV. She wanted me to, like, focus and concentrate because she knew that chess could get me far in life, and I'm grateful for it.
Then the program Chess in the Schools came to her elementary school. She got hooked up with a good coach who saw that she had a natural talent for the game. Soon, she was playing in her first tournament.
I guess I was really scared because I was, like, one of the only girls, and it was kind of intimidating.
And how'd you do?
I lost my first game.
When was your first win? Do you remember?
It was the round after.
Were you hooked at that point?
I think I was hooked as soon as I started playing. And when my coach told me that I was ready to play in tournaments, that's when I was first hooked. Because he had faith in me, he had confidence in me, and I was beating all the guys, so it was fun. And that's when I, like, really decided, yeah, I could really do this.
Ballantyne was crushing her opponents in a sport dominated by men, or at her level, boys. That only fueled her desire to achieve greatness. After playing in tournaments for 8 years, she earned the status of expert.
It takes a long time. It takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of everything. And then for some reason, the thing just cut off on me and said, here, Bill, you know what? I bet I can torque you off. Well, you probably could if you just all of a sudden ended my story. But let me see if I can find it again. You know, I come in every day, Monday through Friday, and I never know what's going to happen. It's kind of exciting in its own way. Actually, it's not. I'm lying. It's the most annoying thing in the whole wide world. Okay. Take your time. Take a deep breath. Okay, because I was fascinated with this young lady. And I'll be honest with you, part of the reason is because she's so good and I'm so bad at chess. I've never really taken the time to learn chess, I have to admit. Maybe I'd be good at it if I really paid attention to it. But it just seemed like too much work to learn. So I'm lazy, I'll admit it. All right, so I never learned it. I'm smoking at checkers, though. Let me see if I can join this in the middle.
CNN.
No, we don't want
CNN.
That.
CNN.
You already got that.
Radio.
Okay, here. Come down here.
To achieve greatness. After playing in tournaments for 8 years, she earned the status of expert. It takes a long time to do that under the rules created by J-Teen's chess team. So how good are they?
Our team last year was the only team in the history of the United States as a middle school to defeat every high school in America. So all the most prestigious schools in America, high schools, were all checkmated by the team from IS-318.
Dozens upon dozens of tournament trophies line the walls at this school. These students are like the Yankees of chess. And Ballantyne, when she was on the team, was like their Joe DiMaggio, a consistent winner.
You know, I don't want to pick a nit here, but shouldn't it be the Giants of Chess? The Giants of Chess?
Galvin has no doubt that she will become a chess master very soon.
Rochelle was one of our best players that we've ever had in our school. She won several individual national championships. When she was in ninth grade, after she had graduated IS-318, she won a college scholarship to the University of Texas at Dallas, even when she was a ninth grader.
As Ballantyne and I got to the subway station on our walk, I asked her if she felt a lot of pressure to win.
All the time. Because I've gotten to the point where I'm at, everyone always expects me to do good. And when I don't, it hurts that much more.
What's so amazing about her success story is how she finds a way to achieve these wins while juggling so many other things, volunteering in after-school programs, applying to colleges, and taking on responsibilities at home.
And then last year, my mom had another baby. And so that was like more of a financial burden on our family, and it was hard.
Because she's the oldest in her family, the burden fell on her to take care of her siblings when mom wasn't home.
I mean, sometimes it sucks because I don't get enough sleep and I'm not prepared for school the next day, but I guess it prepares me for life, so I have to be grateful.
You had to grow up fast.
Yeah. I mean, my mom hates it because she's like, Michelle, stop growing up!
Life has thrown a lot of obstacles in her path, but just like the way she walks through New York, Ballantyne plows right through them and keeps her eye on the goal. Down on the subway platform, we talked about what she wants to do beyond chess.
I want to get into UPenn, and I want to become a lawyer, a criminal or corporate, I haven't decided yet.
Do you plan this stuff out while you're riding the subway?
I do. I dream about my future all the time.
You'd be hard-pressed to find someone who thinks Rochelle Ballantyne won't fulfill those dreams. As I record this, she's playing in another chess tournament, earning more points as she closes in on becoming the first ever female African-American chess master.
Rochelle,
Kastenbaum, CNN.
Sorry to interrupt. Rochelle, right there. Ballantyne. She's 17 years old. Oh, that's amazing. Okay, cool. She'll make it out. I'm sure she will. I'm digging that whole story there. That's great. I've never been first anything either. But hey, I'm still a young man yet. Right. Here's something we had football on last night, and the 49ers, I mean, this is an amazing statistic here. San Francisco quarterback Smith completed 18 of 19 passes and 3 touchdowns, which is pretty darn good, I got to tell you that. Okay, then Tiger Woods and McIlroy, Rory McIlroy, play over in China. It doesn't say anywhere how much money they made on this deal. I've looked and looked and looked and looked. I guess maybe if I looked up in the internet, I could find out. Anyway, so they just played a two-man tournament over in China. McIlroy won, beat Woods by one stroke. And now I just saw a thing appear that McIlroy may leave. Who's he endorsed? Titleist? I think, he may leave Titleist, which is maybe they'll throw Tiger at it and Nike pick up McIlroy, and then Tiger can become whatever Tiger's become. He's still considered one of the best in the world. So now Anderson Cooper, who I love for his ridiculous, as you all know, he's not going to get a third season for his talk show. It's the field has gotten just too insane. When there's too much of it, there's just too much of it. And I don't know how anybody prevails exactly, but, you know, the people that have been on for a while, they seem to do better. But, it really is a whole bunch of people. A whole bunch of talk radio, talk TV, rather, going on in the afternoon. Talk radio, too. Talk. So you're ootin' a boot, and you say, I could use some more talk. Okay, well, there's plenty of it. All right. Why don't you think we're going to let you down on that? All right, there was another thing I wanted to see if I could get to you. Be patient. I know I have these pauses every now and then, but it's because everything works in the studio at a slower speed than normal people. So I have to kind of go with the flow, if you know what I'm saying. I can't make it go faster. It goes as fast as it goes. Well, that was a good story. I got to play that story for you, because there's a guy helping people find their lost Purple Hearts. So I like that story. Okay. Anything else I want to tell you about sports? No, that's it. That was all that mattered right at the moment right there. And then Anderson Cooper's talk show gets shut down. Yay. There's things going on. A week from today. What's today, Tuesday? A week from today, the election is a week from today. A week from tomorrow, they'll be quiet and calm in the universe once again. I hope so. I don't know how he's going to have to wear like a costume, you know what I'm saying? Or a cape more than that. He's going to have to cover up because he's an older guy now. But Conan O'Brien's coming back Arnold Schwarzenegger's coming back as Conan the Barbarian. And the Legend of Conan is going to be an action film developed for him. He's 65 years old, of course, so he started to Conan the Destroyer in 84 and in 82, Conan the Barbarian. He's honored to play the character again. He doesn't look like that anymore. So I don't know where they're going to go with that. I don't know what they're going to say. All right, this has been on a couple of times. I'm not going to go searching for it anyway. I'm not exactly sure what happened, but anyway, speaking of NSYNC and Justin Timberlake, I guess he posted some kind of a video that was considered in bad judgment. I do a lot of this bad judgment stuff. We have it all the time. It's part of our lives now. But that's what they're saying. All right. All right, I want to share this with you because this is an important story right here. And I'm gonna click on it right here. This is a citizen soldier reunites Purple Hearts with their recipients.
Confirmed death. I know one in Queens.
All right, that was a whole other thing. All right, we'll get to it here in just a half a minute. Anyway, it's a real honor to be awarded the Purple Heart, and you earn it, of course, and the hard way, you know. It's our nation's oldest medal, the Purple Heart. We had to start with something. We didn't have any medals, you know. All the other countries, we're brand new. We hadn't any medals yet. So George Washington said, okay, I'm going to do this one. And it's worked out. Now here's the story.
Ralph sacrificed more than just his service to our country. He sacrificed his blood.
My dad, Ralph W. Bingham, he was a veteran of the First World War, the Big War.
For that sacrifice, he was awarded our nation's oldest medal, the Purple Heart.
He lost his right leg fighting in France, and he received a Purple Heart for that. We had it for many years in my home where I grew up.
Unbeknownst to us, was lost in some manner in one of his moves later in his life.
I found Private Ralph Bingham's medal on Craigslist. This has been a calling of mine for about the last 3 years. I locate lost or stolen medals. These are all the Purple Hearts that I'm currently working. Some I've located to families, some I haven't. I do these on my own time. I don't consider it a hobby. It's more of a calling and an honor. You know, a lot of times they put it in a shoebox under the bed and it gets misplaced and they lose it. I myself have a Purple Heart. It hangs on the wall in my mother's home. And I would hope that one day if my medal was lost, you know, someone would do the same thing for me and my family. It is truly an honor to bring Private Bingman's Purple Heart home to his family, and I am again truly humbled by his sacrifice. It is a great honor to bring home his Purple Heart. Thank you very much.
The medal means a lot to me, especially, and to our family.
So that's that. That's the Purple Heart.
There it is.
I remember seeing it as a girl growing up. You know, my mother kept it in a certain spot in the dining room.
And to see how appreciative they were was just a tremendous feeling. I'm glad it's home to where it belongs, and I'll move on to the next medal.
I'm sorry. I'm trying to follow the story. I'm not exactly sure where he finds these things. Does he? I don't know where he finds them. He finds them. Now, let me mention something. If you're a veteran, okay, you can go to your Veteran Service Center in San Luis Obispo, California, 93401, at the corner of Grand and Monterey, and below the underneath the Vets Hall. And if you, and this is worth doing because you, all of a sudden you find out, you know, you have medals you didn't even know you had. It's called a medal search, and they fill out a form for you, and then they send it off. And of course, it takes a long time. But then this is what happens. They actually send you new medals of whatever it is you have or lost. But you don't have to ask for it; they'll just send them to you. And then anything you didn't know you had, they'll say, "Here, you got this." Because sometimes these things are late in coming. Some of these awards, you know, it's an afterthought until somebody else does it. So that's, I thought I wanted to share that with you. That's, that was interesting right there. All right. They have a thing here called the lighter side of politics. I don't think so. Sorry. I didn't think there was a lighter side of politics at all. I didn't think we had that. Yeah. I think we'll take a break. I think we'll join in sync one more, next to the last time, and come back.
What if I suspect I have hearing loss? Make an appointment to see an audiologist. They'll perform a comprehensive hearing evaluation to determine the type and severity of the hearing loss you may have. Hearing impairment not only affects your ability to understand speech, it can also have a negative impact on your social and emotional well-being. Wear ear protection, such as earplugs or earmuffs, when you're attending a loud concert or using firearms, power tools, or lawn equipment. This has been a public service announcement brought to you by Karen Scott, Hearing Aids and Audiology.
B.B. King, live in concert. The legendary rock and roll and blues Hall of Famer is back.
When I first met you, baby.
For over half a century, he's defined the blues for a worldwide audience. Now it's your time to pay tribute to the king.
King of the blues, B.B.
November 1st, 8 p.m., Shumash Casino Resort. B.B. King.
What I did before love.
A soul-inspired night with the King of the Blues. Get tickets now at Club Shumash, ShumashCasino.com, or call 1-800-585-3737.
Everybody.
Grammy Award winner, B.B. King.
heard that somewhere. Hey, you're Bill Benko. This is Talk is Cheap, Friends and Neighbors Network at 26 minutes before the hour of 2. You're with Bill on 1340 KYMS, your news station. I thank you for joining me today. It's a pretty good day, 75 degrees or so. I don't think it's going to be, maybe 72, 75, somewhere in there. Santa's supposed to, but anyway, it's supposed to get warmer as we head towards the weekend, so we'll see where that goes. Where was the thing I wanted to tell you about? Oh, yeah, the stretch of Highway 101 between Madonna Road and San Luis Bay Drive was designated as Christopher Meadows Memorial Highway. He was a 24-year-old search and rescue guy that was killed on the Oceana Dunes in 2009. And so they've named that after him. And I think that's special. I think that's special myself. All right. And Diane, you say, Bill, anything else going on? Yeah. I have something right here. I got something right here I want to share with you. And it's... Now, here you have to understand something. This hurricane comes. People are over in Europe that are Americans, and they want to get back. You know, well, you normally get back to LaGuardia. Okay? That's not where you're getting back to now. You're stuck. So people are stuck. People are stuck trying to leave. People are stuck trying to come home. The other thing is, you know, another thing that certainly struck me was this storm was so huge, you know, when you say, okay, you have to evacuate, and you decide, okay, where am I going to go? And then you're like, I don't know. And these areas along the beach and a lot of places are just amazing. The entire sand dunes were washed into the streets. So the streets are, they should just leave them like that. But then they have to rebuild the dunes somehow. Anyway, wouldn't it be softer on your car? Wouldn't it be? Would it be better? It would be a softer ride, I think, it was sand. Just an idea. I don't know. They don't ask me to come up with this stuff. Let's talk about how bad things are trying to get around and commute and fly and do all that kind of stuff. Because
there's a new way to watch six.
I don't want all these promotions.
But see more stories anytime, anywhere. Available in the App Store now.
Fine, thank you. Okay.
Superstorm Sandy has paralyzed travel and land in the air for millions of people. Flight cancellations are rippling around the world. Manuel Bohorquez is at Atlanta's Hartsfield-Jackson International Airport. Manuel, good morning.
Good morning, Nora. The storm has caused the cancellation of 14,000 flights across the country. Here at the nation's busiest airport, 300 flights have been canceled so far. 70% of the flights that come through here connect to other destinations. That's having a huge ripple effect nationwide. From Delaware and Maryland to Pennsylvania, New York, and Massachusetts, the Northeast is at a transportation standstill. But Hurricane Sandy's effect is being felt at airports across the country. Lewis Miller is director of Atlanta's airport.
The Northeast is a large population base, and there's a lot of travel there. And if that's disrupted, that has an impact on travel, not only across the entire United States, but worldwide.
All flights between London's Heathrow Airport and the Eastern Seaboard were canceled. At New York's three major airports alone, more than 3,100 flights have already been grounded. And the normally crowded skies over the Northeast were empty as thousands of aircraft were moved out of the storm's path. Ground travel fared no better. Floodwaters rushed into the Brooklyn Battery Tunnel and inundated commuter rail lines in New Jersey. Washington's Union Station was a ghost town after Amtrak suspended service along its busy Northeast Corridor, which carries almost 74,000 passengers daily. The rail carrier said it was unsure when normal service could resume.
They'll be looking to make sure that there are no cracks, there are no debris sitting on the rails, that there are no loss of electricity.
Airports must undergo similar measures.
They got to go out and re-inspect the entire airport to make sure everything works. So they're ready to get that airport open as quickly as they can.
Delta Airlines, which is headquartered here, and United Airlines had planned to resume some limited travel from their New York hubs tonight, but that's if the airports and aircraft pass those inspections. Charlie and Nora.
Manuel Bohorquez, thanks.
Bohorquez, the Norcus. Thank you there, right there. Here's a report we'll get to that says Sandy's cost may hit $50 billion. And that doesn't count, I don't think. I don't think maybe it includes the fact that they have businesses that just can't operate. You know, all the businesses that can't operate. I mean, how much loss is in that? But maybe that number includes that. I'm not sure. Okay. There's an article left over about the Edna Valley Vineyard doing very well under the tutelage of the E.J. Gallo Company. And they're talking about how well it's doing. I mentioned to you, I took the gang wine taste the other day, a couple weekends ago, and like I said, you know, it used to be that all of these places had tons of stuff to sell, you know, all overpriced, but tons of stuff to sell, and so you'd go in there and there'd be tons of stuff. Now, because the wines have gotten so expensive, they're not trying to nick you on something else. We have some classy stuff around our area. We certainly do. All right, other things that are happening. Here are the people I need to tell you about. Don't forget, tomorrow night there's going to be lots of coppers out there trying to get you from drinking and driving. No drinking, it's just not worth it. It's just not anywhere near worth it. It's not anywhere near worth it. Okay. Chinese investors evaded government controls of more than $600 billion out of the country last year, and the outflow is increasing, filling economic and political risks as communist leaders prepare for a handover of power, Washington-based monitoring said. So anyway, so that's what's going on with China. Noah Weber made plans to cut more than 1,900 jobs, or about 10% of its workforce. So here we are, all we're reading about is bad news. Drugmaker Merck & Company said Friday that third quarter profit rose 2% as lower spending and taxes. That 2% for a drug company is not very much. Because they make dough. They do good. And Galaxy Phones propelled Samsung's quarter profit to a record high, but its shares dropped on Friday on the prospect its growth will slow in an increasing crowded smartphone market. One would have to say, you know, how would you know what to buy anymore? How would you know, guys? And the other thing is once you buy it, you know, that it's not going to be worth anything, most of it. So it's like, okay, what do I do here? What do I do and why do I do it? $50 billion, that's a lot of dough. Let's see if I can find out here. Let's see if we can be up to date here on what's going on. I want to see what that includes. It doesn't care what I want. Anyway, as I wait for my Apple IIe, here it is. Here's the start right here. That's a lot of houses ruined. Man, that's really something. Okay. Sandy's cost may hit 50. All right, here's what I have to say. They say Superstore Sandy will end up costing about $20 billion in damage and $10 billion to $30 billion in lost business, according to IHS Global Insight, a forecasting firm. In the long run, the devastation the storm inflicted on New York City and other parts of the Northwest will barely nick the U.S. economy. That's the view of economists who say higher gas prices and a slightly slower economy this coming weeks will likely be matched by reconstruction and repairs that will contribute to growth over time. Short-term blow to the economy, though, could subtract about 0.6% from U.S. economic growth to the October-December quarter. Retailers, airlines, and home construction firms will likely lose some business. Well, yeah, the home fix-em-up firms are going to do fine. So I guess that's the difference they're saying right there. I guess that's the answer to that. The fix-em-up business is different than the non-fix-em-up business. All right. Elsewhere, there was a guy, really, I can't remember, there was a story about London, I can't remember what it was about, but the guy who was the spokesperson that spoke on behalf of whatever had to do with in London, his last name was, are you ready, is this English or what? His last name was Elstwhistle. Honest, you'd have to be from England to have the name Elstwhistle. There's just no way you could have that on your own. God, admit it. Admit, you can't have that on your own. All right, Elstwhistle. Three more fungal meningitis people have passed away. Patients have passed away. That just came up as a new news, and that's just terrible. And we talked about this earlier in the weekend, or Monday, and that's the potential patients waiting emotional agony over this whole thing, and they're dead. They have no idea what's going to happen to them, and it's just a big mess. All right. Well, here was this is interesting. This guy got fired. There was another guy recently that got, because he leaked some information, he was fined which means he must make the company a lot of money. You know, so this was a thing right here. Young Citigroup analyst was researching Facebook before it went public. He dropped an email to two of his buddies at a popular technology blog, leaking them information about Citigroup's research that was supposed to be private. When one friend asked if it was okay to publish the information, the analyst responded with the answer that showed he knew he was breaking the rules. My boss, he wrote, would have eaten me alive. So anyway, Citigroup said the $2 million fine and fired the analyst. The disclosure includes Citigroup's private revenue estimates for Facebook's as investment risks. So you're not supposed to know what your investment risk is. Even if they have it figured out, they don't want you to know that. So, which makes life just a lot easier to kind of go along there if they don't want to tell you. You know what I'm saying? It's always, always easier. All right. Now, let's see if we can have a second. All right, let me do this. I want to share this with you because I think it's important that you know this. Because so, especially, I was talking to somebody earlier today. I'm not like, you know about me and computers. I don't know them. But I just know a little about, I know a little bit about them. I know a little bit about programs and stuff. I mean, a little bit about that. And yet, I was hoping to get somebody that would report for us on this story. And they're talking about the Windows 8 operating system. And how it's hard to, can you install something that works like the old one did? Okay, you know, like old ones did. Here's a thing here I got a kick out of. Four things never to buy at Costco. Hey, I just report on these things. Here we go. I'll read it with you, and then we'll see if we agree or not. If I agree with it. Most of us are notoriously poor at assessing a true bargain, says C.W. Park, professor of marketing at the Marshall School of Business at the University of... It just moved on me. The effect on your wallet, however, is the time spent that you'll have to spend more time if you study, is what he's basically saying. That we give way to impulse buys. Eventually, he said, we regret the purchase or throw much of past its prime product away. It's called the Costco effect. That's actually part of the store's incredibly successful retail strategy. The effect on your wallets, it can spend more than you would have had if you'd never seen the bargain. So here's one of the things they say. Here are four product categories where you're better off going somewhere other than Costco. Designer clothes. So you may want, you might score the occasional pair of lucky jeans or Speedo swimsuit, but designer duds aren't exactly job number one at Costco. However, there are things you can buy that are cheap, you know, shirts and whatnot. Imported shrimp. who would have known? I've never, can I say this honestly, I've never bought imported shrimp at Costco. But anyway, there's the Environmental Defense Fund says that's the eco worst is there because they get it from bad places. Okay, so there's that. Then, sheets and towels. Target and Walmart have the market cornered, and they do a great job, says budget fashionista's Finney. Costco, by contrast, really stocks more than a handful of top-selling colors in sheets and towels. They want 20 colors. This isn't the point. And then, this is the thing that I was thinking of buying quite a few of, and I'm glad I didn't do that. This is 12-pound crates of navel oranges. Sure, it only costs $11.99, but that's not such a good deal if you end up throwing half the fruit away. Same goes for the package of six hearts of romaine lettuce and the three-pack of whipped heavy cream. 240 servings, unless you're, say, hosting a sleepover for your child's entire soccer team and their opponents. Terry Gall, founder of thegrocerygame.com, which helps shoppers save on food, says that when it comes to produce, it's often more cost-effective to shop at your local supermarkets, combine coupons with seasonal specials. Also avoid Costco's candy aisle. Do you really need a five-pound bucket of licorice twist? Do ya? Okay. So that's what I had to say. So that was interesting. You know, there are times, and I think any of us that go to Costco, you know, there's times you look and you say, I don't want that much of it. I'm going back down to Spencer's and get what I need. It's just down the street. I'm going to go to John. Because it's just too much stuff. You know, you don't want all that. or they have a, oh, you know what they have? I think is a two packs. They sell peanut butter in two packs. I believe they do. Let me remind you, you can buy at Costco if that's where you happen to be, but you can also buy it from the store, and that's Moe's Barbecue Sauce. They have a selection of four sauces right there, and they are good. And they sell them at our local Costco. So if you happen to be in the ketchupy, mustardy barbecue sauce aisle, then you can find that. And you'll really be happy you did that. And you can mix and match them and do all kinds of stuff with them because they're all there. They're the original, the hot and totten, the sweet Carolina, and the filthy Phil's. All right. Which they say is, I just saw this for the first time when they talked about it. It's kind of a mustardy base type of a barbecue. Well, it's kind of a mustardy vinegar taste barbecue sauce is what it is. So anyway, that's okay. Now, let's, because I did that, and then they say right here, what are the five things you should buy at Costco? Should we find out what we should buy at Costco? I'm trying to think. If I said that you should buy this at Costco, I don't know what it is. I don't know how I even came across this website. It's CBS Money Watch is what it is. All right. Read the other article on four things. Okay, we just did that. Okay, so this article was updated in 2010. On November 22nd, 2010. This is when it was last updated? What year is this? Okay, well, that doesn't sound right then. All right, let's see what we got. Things that are good to buy at Costco. I figure I'm like your, what do you call that guy? Consumer advocate guy. Okay, that's me. I'm Horowitz. Okay. Come on, please. Oh, speaking of Jif peanut butter coming in a two-pack, or Skippy or whatever it is out there. Jif's better, by the way. They say that because we have a huge peanut surplus, this is really weird, we might pay lower prices for peanut butter while at the same time we're going to be paying higher costs for many groceries. I find that stunning in that. To tell you the truth, and that in the past, we just take the farmers take the excess peanuts, they put them in silos, and we pay them for them. And we pay them not to put them on the market. Okay? Something's changed. I don't know what it is. All right, here we go. Wine. Costco offers a good selection of other wines at competitive price. A recent favorite of aisles is the Lot 200 Cameron Hughes and 208 Napa Valley Cabernet Sauvignon, which sells for $28 a bottle at Costco. I just tasted this 2 days ago, and it was pretty darn good. Cabernet for the price. Oh, fine. Okay. Oh, here's more information about wine. Exactly. Some of these things. Costco Chateau de Papa. It doesn't exactly roll off the tongue, but who cares? It goes down the throat quite nicely. 800-year-old appellation quaffed by popes and praised by Nostradamus is now available under the Kirkland House brand at your local warehouse club. And it's good, according to experts. The 2008 Chateau Yahaha sells for $20, but would be $30 anywhere else. So there you are, right there. There's your wine. That's what I'm doing about wine. I've done enough of that wine stuff. Here's something I buy a lot of. Chocolate truffles. They're real and they're spectacular. Just that's the line they stole from Seinfeld. Okay, anyway, so they cost $10.89 for the 2-pound boxes compared with $29 on Amazon. That's 240 truffles, but who's counting? After your dinner party, put what's left in nice boxes and give them to colleagues at the office as a holiday gift. There's what you could do. Do a super truffle. Do a super truffle. Okay. Eyeglasses. One-stop shopping at low prices has endeared Costco Optical to tens of thousands of vision challenge shoppers. For $49, a licensed optometrist will perform a vision and eye health exam in the store room exam room, the in-store exam room. A week later, you can pick up your specs. In a survey released this month by Consumer Reports, 30,000 lens wearers choose Costco at their favorite optical retailer or vision store change. This because it was 2010. I don't know what these numbers don't mean anything, really. They have, here we go. It's $157 medium price for glasses. Compare that price with an average of $211 at independent optical shops, $212 at the private eye doctor's offices, and $228 at Pearle Vision. Costco also stood out for lack of problems such as loose lenses, distorted vision, or damaged frames in the first weeks after purchase. Yeah, because if you put on your brand new pair of glasses and you have distorted vision, something's not right. Somebody got something wrong. Because from the time you have your eye exam to the time they get your glasses, a few days. That your eyes shouldn't change that much. I'm suggesting they shouldn't change. I could be wrong. But I'm suggesting that stuff that shouldn't change that much. And Okay, laptops. Costco's prices on notebook PCs are already a good deal, but there are further benefits to buying one at Costco, a two-year warranty policy, a 90-day return policy, et cetera, et cetera. And the last thing to buy at Costco is Costco's Kirkland Signature Organic Extra Virgin Olive Oil, EVOO, maybe the best-kept secret in the store. At $9.99 for 1.5 liters, it's roughly half the cost of the well-known Bertolli brand, and yet according to at least one independent study, it's much better. In recent comparisons of 19 olive oils on the market, the Olive Center, a research group at the University of California, Davis, found that Kirkland Organic was one of the only five in the study not mixed with a cheaper refined olive oil that can spoil the taste. It's the real deal right there. So get your EVOO at Costco.
Keep smiling, keep shining, knowing you can always count on me. For sure. That's what friends are for. In good times, in bad times, I'll be on your side forevermore. Oh, that's what friends are for. Oh, keep smiling, keep shining.
That's what friends are for. Thanks for being a friend and neighbor today. I'm Bill Baker. Thank you for joining me. We'll get together again tomorrow. Now, don't forget, we're going to have Treasure Ivan in the second hour tomorrow. But I'll be here from 12 o'clock to 1 o'clock, and I got some special stuff going on. And until then, may your trails be happy ones, and don't believe everything you hear here, because...
This is Talk is Cheap. The game is over. The Friends and Neighbors Network.
Game over.
With Bill Benica.
Happy trails to you till we meet again.
Would you be my girlfriend? Would you be my girlfriend?
Could be a shield, yeah.